Thank you very much, Jim. Thank you for the special. I want to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, beautiful day out there. I know many of you kids are getting ready for camp. Jim sure helped me out the last few weeks. My tractor ended up by having a problem, and Jim was really nice about loaning me his. So I'm thankful for my brothers. I would like to start in the 22nd chapter of Luke this morning, the 33rd verse. And this is about Peter. Before Christ's crucifixion. I'm just going to read this one verse. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. How often have we said that ourselves about the Lord? Lord, I'm yours. Just tell me what you want done. I've made that statement myself. I give my life for you, Lord. Let's go back a couple pages to the 20th chapter now. 38th verse. And it says this. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. God of the living. We think our death as a sacrifice is what God wants. I believe that's furthest from the truth. Peter certainly didn't understand all that point that the Lord told him. He hadn't been converted. Let's go back to that 22nd. The 31st verse, and it says, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. This was the verses that were leading up to that one. Christ knew that he hadn't been converted. He walked with Christ, for 3.5 years. And yet he didn't understand. Romans, the 12th chapter. First verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. We look at the statement in the physical. I don't believe it is. You know, I talk to many people about this. How do we present ourselves? When we say that we die for the Lord, what does that mean? Are we just like Peter? And don't get me wrong, I believe Peter got there. And I ask people, I say, why do you think there was such a change in the law from the Mosaic law to the law of grace? Why was there such a change? Because the Mosaic law was, you have to do it because this is what it says. You're compelled. The law of grace is, I do it because I want to, Lord. Obedience to the will of God. You see, we can't do what God does for us, and He won't do what we can do for ourselves. Cannot save ourselves, cannot sanctify ourselves. Did He make Peter not deny Him? No. There are things about our lives, our characteristics, our habits that God doesn't change. He makes us look at them. He makes us assess where we are. But He does not change those things about us. He allows us that latitude. Helps us look at things a different way. Second Corinthians, 12th chapter. I'm going to start in the 7th verse, and all you guys know this. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's strength was made perfect in weakness. Do you think that Paul wasn't God's servant? Do you think that God didn't consider him? That he was an exceptional servant? An exceptional one. One that changed the course of religion in many instances. And I just want you to understand this. Go back to Acts 19:13. And I just got a scripture that I want to read here, or a set of scriptures. Because this is talking about, and I just want to make the point. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. And there were 7 sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirits was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against him, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Those evil spirits, they knew who Paul was. They knew who Christ was. They didn't know who this guy was. He was an instrument in God's hands. Made a huge difference. And God knew it and gave him his strengths. You think about Paul's strengths that he had to have. When Ananias was going when the Lord told Ananias in a vision to go and administer to him, what did he say? He said, I've heard a lot about this guy. Let's read it. Let's go to Acts 9. Tenth verse. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, excuse me, I have heard many of this man, how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And this is the key. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. For my name's sake. You never heard Paul saying, Lord, why'd you do this to me? How come this is just too much for me? A chosen vessel to bear his name. Are we a chosen vessel to bear his name? For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. It became not about Paul. It became about who he represented. He was totally converted. Totally converted. Are we like that? Are we totally converted? Paul understood who it was all about. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Go to Philippians, 4th chapter. Eleventh verse. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therein to be content. In the 13th verse it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Can you? Was an absolute trust in Christ. An absolute trust in Christ. Do you have that absolute trust in Christ? Why not? The other week, my tractor broke down. You know, I just thanked the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I knew it was getting ready to go anyway. It had been for the last 2 years. But Jim loaned me his, and I was so thankful for that. The old tractor was tired. Just hadn't had the time to fix it. But I did. When it did that, I just praised my God. People say, you're crazy. Why? Even in adversity, Paul didn't say, well, you know, man, that shouldn't have happened. We're always looking at, you know, what? Lord, why didn't you just make it run for another couple months? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Did I know the tractor engine was getting tired? Yes, I did. My wife kept on saying to me, you need to rebuild that engine. Well, guess I should have listened to her. But the greater thing is, when these things happen to us, you know, we're always looking at, you know, well, poor me. I don't hear that in Paul. And even Peter towards the end. You know, I teach a Bible study every Sunday afternoon at my neighbor's, and they were kind of doing the same thing. They were, well, God doesn't talk to me. God doesn't show me things. And I said to him, I says, you know, I said, when that tractor quit, I thank God. They looked at me. And this one neighbor that we have this Bible study at, he's retired farmer. And he just planted his beans one time. This was a year or so back. And here came this huge rain. He says, oh, my beans will be washed out. Goes down to that field. There was no washes. None at all. He said, how could that be? And he testified of that. And so I said to him, I says, well, Al, I says, what happened then? He said, well, it's rained since then and it has washed. I said, if God proved to you once that he could do that, why would he do it again if you didn't believe him then? And that's what it comes down to in our lives. If he did it for you once, and you say, well, you know, just a coincidence. Why would he do it again for you? It's that absolute belief. It's that yes, Lord, doesn't matter. Whether it washed or not, it doesn't matter. As long as we're giving him the glory, that we're that living sacrifice, he changes who we are, what we're about, and where our focus should truly be. I have learned in whatsoever state I am, wherewith to be content. Pretty hard for us as humans. want to go to Alma, page 362. It's the twelfth chapter of Alma, and I want to read first, and this is about Ammon, one of the best examples I find of truly, like Paul, giving his life to God. Could have had the kingdom, you know. Same thing with his brothers. King Messiah wanted to give him the kingdom. They didn't want it. Their joy was like Paul's. No matter what happens all around me, as long as I'm focused on my Lord and Savior, I'm okay. And so the first 15 verses go this way. And it came to pass that as Alma was journeying from the land of Gideon southward away to the land of Mandi, behold, to his astonishments, he met the sons of Mosiah journeying towards the land of Zarahemla. Now these sons of Mosiah were with Alma at the time. The angel first appeared unto him. Therefore, Alma did rejoice exceedingly to see his brethren. And what added more to his joy, they were still his brethren in the Lord. Yea, and they had waxed strong in knowledge of the truth. For they were men of sound understanding, and they had sacrificed or searched the scriptures diligently that they might know the word of God. But this is not all. They had given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, they had the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with power and authority, even as with the power and authority of God. And they had been teaching the word of God for the space of 14 years among the Lamanites. Wasn't just a weekend jaunt. 14 years. We don't like to give up a day. Having had much success in bringing many to the knowledge of the truth. Yea, by the power of their words, many were brought before the altar of God to call on his name and confess their sins before him. Now these are the circumstances which attended them in their journeying, for they had many afflictions. They did suffer much both in body and in mind, such as hunger, thirst, and fatigue, and also much labor in the spirit. Now these were their journeyings, having taken leave of their father Mosiah in the first year of the reign of Judges, having refused the kingdom which their father was desirous to confer upon them. And also this was the mind of the people. Nevertheless, they departed out of the land of Zarahemla and took their swords and their spears and their bows and their arrows and their slings. And this they did that they might provide food for themselves while in the wilderness. And thus they departed in the wilderness with their numbers, which they had selected to go up to the land of Nephi to preach the word of God unto the Lamanites. And it came to pass that they journeyed many days in the wilderness, and they fasted much and prayed much, that the Lord would grant unto them a portion of his spirit, to go with them and abide with them. Portion of the Spirit. They understood how important that was. that they might be an instrument in the hands of God to bring, if it were possible, their brethren, the Lamanites, to the knowledge of the truth, to the knowledge of the baseness of the traditions of their fathers, which were not correct. And it came to pass that the Lord did visit them with his spirit and said unto them, be comforted. And they were comforted. And the Lord said unto them also, go forth among the Lamanites, thy brethren, and establish thy word. Yet ye shall be patient in long-suffering and afflictions, that ye may show forth good examples unto them in me, and I will make an instrument of thee in my hands unto the salvation of many souls. Let me read that again for you. That ye may show forth good examples unto them in me. Meaning, it's not you I want you to present. All we are is instruments. Paul was no different. He was a shining instrument. They knew they needed that spirit. They knew who it was that they were representing. Paul wasn't any different. He knew exactly who he was representing. Who do you represent? You better know that answer. Now, can you imagine that you would become a servant for life? So this is what Ammon did. I'm going to start in verse 30, over on page 364. And as Ammon entered into the land of Ishmael, the Lamanites took him and bound him, as was their custom, to bind all the Nephites who fell into their hands and carry them before the king. And thus it was left to the pleasure of the king to slay them or to retain them in captivity or to cast them into prison or to cast them out of his land according to his will and pleasure. And thus Ammon was carried before the king who was over the land of Ishmael, and his name was Lamoni. And he was a descendant of Ishmael. And the king inquired of Ammon if it were his desire to dwell in the land among the Lamanites or among his people. And Ammon said unto him, yea, I desire to dwell among this people for a time, yea, and perhaps until the day I die. And it came to pass that King Lamoni was much pleased with Ammon and caused that his bands should be loosed, and he would that Ammon should take one of his daughters to wife. But Ammon said unto him, nay, but I will be thy servant. Therefore Ammon became a servant to King Lamoni. He understood that it wasn't his life. God had allowed him to be put in that bondage, to be an instrument in his hands. man, don't have my own will, you know, just always got to do what people say. Especially you kids. Mum and dad, they don't know what they're talking about. For most people, we reject that. I want my freedom. I want my liberty. You know, when the scripture says, you know, that make you free, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. You see, if you go over to the 50th verse, and this is where the other Lamanites were scattering the flocks that he'd been, well, hadn't really been put in charge of, but was part of the servants to water those sheep. And the thing was, and they were in number not a few. Therefore they did not fear Ammon, for they supposed that one of their men could slay him according to their pleasure. For they knew not that the Lord had promised Messiah that he would deliver his sons out of their hands, neither did they know anything concerning the Lord. Therefore they delighted in the destruction of their brethren, and for this cause they stood to scatter the flock of the king. But Ammon stood forth and began to cast stones at them with his sling. Yea, with mighty power he did sling stones amongst them. And thus he slew a certain number of them, insomuch that they began to be astonished at his power. Nevertheless, they were angry because of the slain of their brethren, and they were determined that he should fall. Therefore, seeing that they could not hit him with their stones, they came forth with clubs to slay him. But behold, every man that lifted his club to smite Ammon, he smote off their arms with the sword. Made them kind of harmless, huh? It's terrible. For he did withstand their blows by smiting their arms with the edge of his sword, insomuch that they began to be astonished and began to flee before him. And they were not few in number, and he caused them to flee by the strength of his arm. You think he did it in his own strength? I believe so. God was with him, just as he's with each and every one of us today. I see that time has passed. I praise my God for everything that happens to me, for the blessings that he is so willing to bestow upon us, and I pray for each and every one of you, brothers and sisters, and especially you young people as you go to camp, to remember who your master is, and that you have exceeding great faith, that you walk humbly before him, and that you give him all the glory, no matter what, and that he be your master more than anything else. I thank you for your time and your consideration.